Hello and welcome to another episode of Man Buns and Jesus. Thanks for joining us, I guess. I don't know.
Where's the enthusiasm, Ben? Thank you for joining us. We're so excited you're here.
Josh, considering what we're about to talk about today, I don't know if that level of excitement and enthusiasm is appropriate.
Okay, calm down.
I'm Pastor Ben Olschlager. Coming to you from Michigan. This is Pastor Josh Laborious coming to you from SoCal. Josh, what are we talking about today?
Well, as if you are a consistent listener and you listened to last week's episode, you know that we're taking some time ahead of Holy Week to look at some of the different days of Holy Week and highlight their importance, highlight how they help us to inform and celebrate Easter. And today we're going to be looking at what is maybe the most crucial to a really good understanding of what happens on Easter, because we're going to be talking about Good Friday and the recognition of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross.
Doesn't this episode ready? Come out during Holy Week? It's that
time! I think it might. This also would be very If I knew how to edit audio better, I would have switched that all into a much more depressing key or something.
Just trying to look in minor.
He is so. But we are talking about Good Friday today, ladies and gentlemen, which is a weird, I think emotionally it's a weird day, because on one hand it is a very kind of sober and muted, almost sad, almost depressed day, and then
I mean, your sanctuary, if you're in a more traditional church, your sanctuary is often draped in black.
With no embellishment. The altar, there are no there are candles, but we'll get to that in a second. Like, there's no altar book, there's no, it's just a black cloth.
Yep. Pastors usually wearing black. There's no trappings on the wall, there's no, like.
It's. Honestly, it's more like walking into the sanctuary. It's a more kind of austere, which isn't a super helpful word. If you don't,
it's barren.
It's even more so than if there's like a funeral going on.
Yeah.
But on this, so on one hand, you know, there's some reverence. Maybe it's a very solemn occasion. But on the other hand, we're recognizing someone paying all of our debt to God. So it's something worth celebrating. Because our debt, what we owed for our sins, for our shortcomings, that isn't paid on Easter. Easter's kind of the receipt signature for the debt that is paid on Good Friday. So on another hand, like it is a day worth celebrating, as weird as that maybe sounds, and it does, I think, put us in a weird dichotomy, in a weird place where it's a very solemn recognition of Jesus sacrificing, but it's at the same time, it is a celebration because it is the event that saves us. So I think Good Friday puts us in a weird place. I think most churches, like ours included at Edgewater, we tend to be very solemn, and I think that's entirely appropriate. But it's not without some joy and some hope at the end, because we do know what's coming, right?
Yeah. I mean, like
Star Wars at this point, you know, Darth Vader is Luke's father. It's not a shocker anymore. We know what happens on Easter Sunday.
Yes. I mean, there's a reason we call it good, right? Something good happens, even though there's also an incredible amount of pain and sorrow. So, like, for the sake of those who are maybe newer to the faith or just, like, needing a recap, Good Friday, usually our services really focus on the crucifixion, so the process of Jesus going through his trial, being ultimately sentenced to death, carrying his cross to Golgotha, being nailed to it, lifted up, and dying. And then, depending on what service you're using, if you're traditional or depending on what your church wants to emphasize, sometimes laying him in the tomb. We work through the events that lead up to his death, that lead up to his sacrifice, and then we remember the reality that God died.
And what frequently is accompanied, or even maybe the service is built around for Good Friday, is something called the Rite of Tenebrae, which is the Rite of Darkness in plain English. And I always contend, and I think it is one of the most powerful traditions that the church does. And how it works is it is centered on the altar. You will have seven candles laid out in a very simple way. Like we have a black, like a black board that all seven candles are just laid out on, or they're standing out on. And throughout the service, or throughout the rite, you read the seven last words of Jesus on the cross is why there are seven candles. And after each reading, you extinguish one of those candles. And typically you will play or you'll sing through a solemn hymn, and you'll sing through a verse at a time in between. And then once the last candle is extinguished, all of the lights in the sanctuary or in the space that you're worshiping in are turned off. And you're left in darkness. And in the darkness, the pastor will slam the Bible shut. And for effect, most pastors will find the biggest Bible that they have, and that's supposed to that's part of the rite, and it's supposed to evoke this feeling of the tomb being shut. Is that the Lutheran Study Bible?
No, it's the altar book. It's what I always use. Because it's got the reading in it, and it makes a nice thump.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially you don't move away from your microphone when you're slamming the book.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I should. You know what? I'm going to do this. A little peek behind the curtain at the church that I was at in Vicarage. The pastor shut the Bible up front. Someone with the vicar with the microphone had two separate books, hardback books, that got slammed together right by a microphone at the end of the service. That's how it got timed out to kind of send it home. And so that's the rite of darkness. And it really, and then everyone leaves the church in silence. Like, you bring the lights up just enough that people can find their way out without tripping over everything, but everyone leaves in silence. And what I tell people kind of in the lead into the service to introduce the service is it is only half of the story. It's only half of the service. You come back on Sunday for the rest. And there is a lot of conviction in the Good Friday service. And I tell people, there's no absolution tonight. I do warn them. I'm like, if you cannot sit till Sunday with this and you need the absolution, you can, I'll wait up front after service and you can come and receive that. But it's a night to sit with our guilt and to sit with the fact that we are the ones who drove Christ to the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And that's what the rite of tenebrae, that's what the service is kind of built around, is acknowledging the length God had to go to redeem us and to redeem his fallen creation.
Yeah. I think so. I don't know if this is necessarily traditional or what, but I've also seen tenebrae used as an opportunity to work through more of the story of Holy Week. Like, some churches will take, a couple churches I've been to will stop after, the Last Supper. And then for Good Friday, they'll work through seven different readings from Jesus in the garden all the way up through his crucifixion. And they'll do something longer. And some will even include his burial just for the effect. Because I've heard it said that the book slamming can be one of two things, like representatively. It's either the curtain tearing in the temple, which marked Jesus' death, like, there was an earthquake, the curtain tore in the temple, the dead were raised, like, this was a violent event. Or something that's a little bit more solemn and subtle, it was the sealing of the tomb. Yeah. And either way, it's...
You're recognizing the
completion of an act. Yeah.
And when we talk about, well, how does this inform our understanding of Easter? First of all, Easter is not possible if Jesus doesn't die first. You can't come back from the dead if you're not dead. That's not...
Checks out.
Yeah, that's how things work. But there's so many different ways that it gets explained. But the reality is that whether we're conscious of it or not, whether or not we want to acknowledge it, we owed a debt to God. And that debt is we had this punishment that we owed for our sins and for the sins that we inherited and for everything else that comes along with that. And the punishment, the debt, was death and then an eternity separated from God. That is what our actions, that is what our original sin and our inherited brokenness, that's what we deserved. And Christ took all, not just yours, not just mine, but all of that punishment Christ took on himself, and he paid it all at once. And here's one of the reasons it's so important that we acknowledge Jesus is God, because a person could not have done that. Only God can take all of that punishment on himself and pay it all at once. And one of the metaphors to kind of help understand this image is if you think of a debtor's prison, which isn't an accessible image for a lot of us, but back in Jesus' time, and I don't know how historically accurate this is. I don't care. It's still a helpful image. You have this debtor's prison, and you're in the debtor's prison. You're locked up because you owe someone money and you can't pay it back, and you're pretty much only let out to work off that debt. And on next to your door is posted the debt that you owe, and you are in that prison until the debt reaches zero. And it's almost as if Jesus walks down the hallway, and I picture him walking down a hallway from that debtor's prison, and he erases each debt and adds it to himself. And then in the cell on the end, he walks into the cell and he posts the debt on his door. And that, I think, gives us a little bit of an image of he collects all of our debts, everything that we owed to God for everything we've done wrong, and then he takes it on himself. And then he pays it all off in one go, right? So he gets out and he dies once and pays off the whole debt. But I think that kind of gives us an image of what he is doing here. Because especially if you've been raised with this, well, Jesus forgives you all your sins and you're forgiven for Jesus' sake, we forget the magnitude of what that means. Which is one of the reasons that Good Friday service is so important, why having this recognition every year is so important, so we don't forget the incredible magnitude of what God did for us. Mm-hmm. Because that's human tendency, right? Is to forget how much we owed.
Yeah. And I think something that can maybe help us stay a little bit grounded, even as we're remembering the forgiveness won on Good Friday, is like separating out the fact that Christ's death brings forgiveness from our sins, or for our sins, from the gift of grace, which includes salvation and a renewed relationship with God the Father. Because, like, the victory over death in the grave that's sealed on Easter, I'm really splitting hairs here, but you can separate that some from the work that Christ does on Good Friday, paying the price of our sins. And you can almost think about that as like, that's what got you to ground level. That's what got your head above water. That's what it took just to dig you out of the deepest hole that you can possibly imagine. And now there's an opportunity for more. And that more is realized on Easter. That there's like some differentiation there that you can point to as like the difference between mercy and grace. I'm preaching on that somewhat tomorrow as we're recording this. But or not tomorrow, Wednesday.
So go back in time and listen to Ben's sermon on Wednesday.
Yeah. But like, yes, this was good. But also every year when I say Good Friday, I wrestle with it. I wrestle with it being called good.
And that's what we talked about earlier. I think this celebration, this recognition puts us in a place where it's hard to, I don't even think it's possible to pin down a single kind of, here's what you should be feeling, here's how you should be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Because it is this exact duality that Ben described. It is sadness, it is tragedy, what happened to Jesus. And there is guilt, and there is almost a burden on us because we are the ones who put him there. But then there is freedom and joy and hope because of what it means for us. Because the burden that he took up, it is not something that we forced upon him. It is something that he chose to take up for us. So if you're approaching Good Friday and you're not quite sure how to feel, and you're kind of going back and forth between it is good and it is a tragedy, like that's fine. That's fine. In fact, I think that's probably where we should be sitting. So,
yeah, I just thought of this, and it feels like it's maybe almost appropriate to approach this with a similar sense of like, or with a similar like approach to grieving that you would for somebody who dies in the faith. Like, your initial response is typically going to be pain, loss, sorrow. They're gone. They're dead. The interactions that you were hoping to have with them aren't going to happen in this life anymore. But then the longer that you're able to rest in that reality, the longer that you're able to start to understand what that death also means. That they are resting in the care of their Savior. And that they are one step closer to being reunited with God and their bodies in the resurrection. Right? So like for me, as I process a death of, you know, one of our members or a family member who's died in the faith, you feel the pits right off the bat. And then like, as time progresses, you're able to recognize the good that also comes with it. And I think that's kind of what Good Friday gives us, is we recognize the depth of the sin that drove Christ to the cross, but then we also realize, hey, we're one day closer to Easter. We're one day closer to Easter. It's Easter. This isn't an end. This is just means to Christ's victory. And I think that can be a huge thing that helps us as we process, like, what we're feeling. It's not a prescription as to how, because like that's how I experience grief, but your experience with grief is going to be different. But like, it's okay to experience that on Good Friday and process it over that weekend and be reminded of the beauty and joy that is Easter.
And I could be sensing this wrong, so Ben might correct me and I'll be mortally embarrassed. But I think we're actually drawing this episode to an end, which if you've been listening to these episodes consistently, this is a lot shorter than a usual episode. But I think that's one of the things about Good Friday, is it's a simple event. It is the death of our Savior. And while the emotions, like we've talked about, that come along with that are complicated ones, it is, at its core, it's a simple event, and what it means for us is simple. It means our debt is paid and that we are saved. So if you have one takeaway for listeners about Good Friday as they're getting ready to celebrate or recognize, however you want to phrase that, what would that one takeaway be, Ben?
I think my one takeaway would be, like, feel free to grieve, to mourn on Good Friday. Jesus weeps when his brother Lazarus is dead and faces the reality of death. And I think sometimes we kind of sanitize death culturally, and we sanitize grief. We sanitize the emotions that we don't like, that make us uncomfortable. And Good Friday is a place where we wrestle with some very uncomfortable emotions. So my encouragement is, don't be afraid to experience those things. Process them with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then also go to church on Easter, so you can be refreshed and renewed.
Don't miss the importance of part two.
Yeah.
And kind of to dovetail from that, my takeaway is just go to service tonight and just experience, or not tonight, because this releases on Tuesday, not Friday. But go to service on Good Friday and don't try to force yourself into one kind of emotional state or another. Just experience it. Just go through it. Like, really genuinely listen to the words. Just let yourself kind of be in that experience and just let yourself be, and just let yourself experience it however you experience it. Don't force yourself to try and match what the energy of what everybody else is feeling, or even what we've been saying here on this podcast. Just experience it for what it is. So with that, thank you for listening. If if you have any friends who you talk about what you're recognizing on Good Friday and they're like, what on earth are you talking about? And they're super confused, send them this podcast. Maybe it'll give them some clarity. Share it on whatever platform you feel comfortable doing so. Also, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast. Give us a rating, 5 stars preferably, or I guess a like if that's, I don't know what all the different podcast platforms do as far as rating systems. Just give us the good one, please. And if you have any topics that you want us to tackle, any guests you want us to have on, you can always reach out to us. We're happy to accommodate those. And if you don't know us personally, we do have a Facebook page, Man Buns and Jesus, that you can reach us in that way. So with all of that, we hope that you have a blessed Holy Week, that all of these celebrations and all of this time with Christian community would be for the upbuilding of your faith. And with all of that, brothers and sisters, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Catch you after Easter.